Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show.
Glad to be here, Jim. Thank you.
Do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Yeah, let's do the half off for anyone who wants to sign up to VRTrader.com. Still using the 2022 half off promo code. That's 2022. HALFOFF, and go to VRTrader.com and sign up there. And I also want to disclose that I am not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice, but we do write our VRTrader.com newsletter, and it's got plenty of ideas in there.
Is the U.S. government giving conflicting points of view when it comes to what to do about the banking crisis and perhaps runs on banks? And also rising interest rates. Janet Yellen saying, no, we're not going to guarantee deposits over $250,000. And yet you have the Fed head, Powell, saying, oh, we'll look after your money. Don't worry.
Apparently they're both changing their minds, based on input they're getting politically or internally. Just a few minutes ago, before we went on the air, there was a news bulletin on Fox News that Senator Elizabeth Warren, a Democrat in the U.S., calling for the ouster of Jay Powell, the Fed chairman. But Janet Yellen's been all over the place, back and forth. They grill her, and they don't know whether the FDIC, which is the insurance arm for the banks, has the ability. It doesn't currently have the ability to insure bank deposits over $250,000, and there's pressure to increase it, and there's also equal pressure not to increase it. It's funny, coming from the Republican side of the aisle, people thinking that if you insure, too much, the banks become even more irresponsible than they are already. There's no risk of loss for them. They'll make further bad investments, as they did already. Apparently, the big loss in that on the Silicon Valley Bank was because they were heavily invested in treasury securities, which you think are safe, but they bought them at the wrong time. So when interest rates took off, the value of the bonds collapsed, and they had huge losses. So they thought they were getting into something safe, but the timing of it couldn't have been more worse. So, the government doesn't know what it's doing. I've been calling for the abolishment of the Federal Reserve, for decades. A lot of it I'm influenced, I have to say, by that great book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. And in fact, that was even mentioned on the air on a couple network stations the other day. So I don't know if I had the influence or people were just waking up to it, because I write about it all the time. But yeah, the Fed's a bad institution, but the Congress is bad too when they spend money like crazy. And we don't know where this is all going. I think the average person on the here in this country, assumes that the government bails out everybody. They bailed out the big banks in 2008 and 2009, and they just bailed out this Silicon Valley Bank. And, the thought is, gee, why can't we be protected too? So there's going to be a lot of pressure to, having money in the bank at no risk situation. I guess, as a kid, I guess I was a little naive myself. You think the money in the bank is safe, and then you find out that's really not true. And according to literature, that I've read that legally, when you deposit your money in the banks, at least in this country, it's not really your money anymore. It's like a claim or a lien against the bank. It's not really your money, and in theory, you could be at risk. The money in the bank is not necessarily safe, and that's why a lot of people have been running to Treasury securities, like the three-month Treasury bills, because you assume the U.S. government is not going down this week, so at least your money is safe in a Treasury bill. It's probably safe in the bond, too, if you hold it long enough, depending on the expiration. But it's crazy. Banks are not acting prudently. Their timing investments is poor. The Silicon Valley Bank was investing in all kinds of, you know, crazy projects, including some woke and Black Lives Matter type investments. And, you know, of course, it was Silicon Valley, so you can understand the political persuasion of those that are in that part of the world, since Silicon Valley tends to be more, I guess, socialistic or liberal or whatever you want to call it. But all this says is that the system is really in trouble. You know,
should they bring back stress testing for small and medium-sized banks in the U.S.?
I couldn't answer that question. You know, why? I assume they had always recently existed. They had these stress tests, and I hear occasional reports. I'm not up to speed on the current stress test, you know, program or where it stands, but apparently I thought it was still out there, honestly. But, you know, where is this going to go? I mean, we don't know where interest rates are really going to go. We don't know if Jay Powell is going to be in there. They're going to end up kicking him out, putting a different person in there. Talk about, as I'm saying, you know, getting rid of the Fed changing its operating procedure. I mean, it's supposed to be, I believe, full employment is the goal of the Federal Reserve in managing the economy, with the goal of full employment and stability. And yet, you talk to reporters interviewing Powell, listen to him. I mean, he doesn't care if he brings down employment and reduces the record employment that's occurring right now. He's willing to drive that down, which is not the original intended goal of the Fed when it was created. So, and, you know, they do all kinds of surreptitious things, which nobody talks about, like buying stock and bonds and private companies. And, you know, they move the money supply around, and they have all kinds of, course, you know, you have the plunge protection team out there that Ronald Reagan signed in 1988. And directly or indirectly, I'm sure they're involved in that, which is actually involves the manipulation of the stock market. But nobody talks about that. So it's crazy times. You know, they'll try to cover it up as best they can, Jim. You know, it's always a crisis till it's not a crisis. And, of course, I've always talked in these interviews about outlier events that suddenly come up. And I've been looking for outlier events. And we had the balloon, you know, about a month or so back, and now we have banks going under. There's always these things you just can't predict, but you can see coming, and just based on the way the market's been acting. So I'm just wondering what the next outlier event is going to be. But right now, they're trying to do their best to cover it up. But, you know, gold took off. Gold got up to 2013 an ounce. It's not a new high. It's a new high because it's been a new high in Canada for a long time in Canadian dollars, but U.S. dollars, it's got to get up to above that 2070 level. So there's fear, you know, regarding the safety of the system, and there's going to be more inflation, and you know, the safety of the dollar is at stake. So interesting times.
Is gold a good way to protect yourself from uncertainty with the banks? Because we know we can't trust what the government says.
History says it is. Mm-hmm. You know, the timing of it is the important. You know, you look at the timing on the gold. I mean, you know, we had a few rough years here back and forth. And just in the last 2 years, you know, gold runs up to that 2050-70 area, then it drops $300-$400 an ounce, and then comes back up again, then it collapses another time. And this is the third attempt. So let's see if we can get through this time. And the answer is yes, it should be a hedge. you know, unless they're, we jokingly do refer to it, but I don't think it's such a joke, you know, if they're mining gold outside our atmosphere out on asteroids and stuff, which there's plenty of articles supporting that technology, and they're going to bring gold back here from, you know, other places in our solar system. It could create an oversupply at some point, but we don't know. That already could be happening. Who knows? They could already be bringing some gold from mining operations outside the planet. But I don't dismiss this stuff because people, they don't talk about it, or they don't believe it, or they think it's crazy. Well, you know, we found out a lot of things that we thought were crazy weren't so crazy. So, like the COVID panic that they threw upon the world, you know, so, and creating vaccines that are killing people, literally. Some are dropping dead, as you've seen in plenty of videos. So, you know, the unexpected is the expected. You know, you just don't know. But anyway, to answer your question, in theory, it should be. And if we can take out the double top formation, which is in that 2070 area priced in U.S. dollars, then you probably have another, you know, couple $100 run there, and we'll just take it a day at a time. So we just have to watch it. But my view is it's like anything else. It's a commodity, and you also have to trade it. I mean, look at the volatility in crude oil, you know, all the other commodities, lithium, which was hot, had a big correction. Uranium had a big play, had a big correction. So nothing is straight up. And if you can afford to hold stuff forever and you can live forever, then you're going to be right. But you got to time this stuff as well. So at the moment, it appears gold's the place to be. And we'll have to see if it can break out here, or this is just another false run tied to the negative banking news.
Now, is there an oversupply of lithium right now, or is this going to get snapped up at some point?
I couldn't tell you about the supply situation. Honestly, I don't track that. The prices, a lot of the lithium itself and a lot of the lithium-related stocks, you know, pulled back, and probably because they got over-exuberant about its need right now, you know, on a multi-decade basis. Yes, it's valuable, and, you know, of course, more production will probably come online, which could offset the pricing as well as demand continues and it becomes, you know, more affordable to look and mine it. But, it got a little carried away, and I still think it's in a long-term hold, but, you know, long-term could be 10 to 20 years if, you know, they don't get these cars manufactured, or we have, you know, war, you know, detracts the focus of the economy and climate issues and all kinds of crazy things. But yes, it's definitely a play, but you gotta look at the charts. I mean, these things go up and down, and when they get too far, you can see it, and they get overbought, and then they go through a correction. So, you know, this is why I'm into, you know, besides the cyclical analysis and all that other stuff I do, I look at the charts and the volume patterns, and you try to see, you know, how far has it gone up and in what period of time, and is it overbought or not? And you can measure that stuff, you know, looking at the charts. You look at your daily and weekly charts, you can get a sense of volume to the upside, or if people starting to sell up and it's getting overbought. So you got to just time this stuff. So, that's why it's VR Trader. I mean, you know, sure, I guess if you're in your 20s and you just buy stuff and hold it until you're 70 and you retire, and time will work in your favor because it always seems to be an inflationary component here to the stock market. I mean, over the last, you know, 100 years, big corrections, but we always seem to come back because the government keeps printing money until that stops, I guess. You know, if you live long enough, you're young enough, you can be patient. But I'm an impatient person. You know, I'm in my mid-70s, and I've been doing this since my 20s. And I've seen, you know, I thought I'd seen it all, but it seems like we get some new surprises along the way. So I'd rather be more on the trading side of the market and have some fun doing it at the same time.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on the crypto front?
Well, it's improving, at least in terms of Bitcoin, which has come back a little bit. If you recall, we've been positive on that. And one of the ways to play that is that GBTC, which is that trust that trades on the over-the-counter market, the NASDAQ. And I think they're trying to convert it to an ETF. But, you know, I knew when they took Bitcoin down to 15,000 and then the people are talking zero, that was probably the bottom. And the GBTC, which is the one that we have on our monitor list in the newsletter, I think it was high as 58, and it got down $8. So, you know, this is the going back to my comment about looking at the charts when things get overdone in either direction. It was clear to me when it was around $8 that it was getting pretty cheap. So we actually mentioned it, that it was something to look at $8, and got up to 16, I think, yesterday. So, and ultimately, I guess it'll go back to 58 if I'm right. And, yeah, I don't know about Ethereum. You know, a lot of people like the XRP, and, of course, they like the Dogecoin because Elon Musk was involved. And there's so many out there. I mean, we produced the blockchain letter. It's on our website at VR Trader. And you can see a whole list of the cryptos that are out there. But I'd rather stick with the blue chips. You know, if you're going to play it, you know, stick with Bitcoin. You know what I mean? It's officially categorized as a commodity by the Securities and Exchange Commission. So they're not going to go after and try to shut that down as they are maybe some others. There's this lawsuit with Ripple, which produces the XRP crypto. And that's come up actually the last few days about 25%. But it's a cheapie. You know, it goes from what? 20 cents to 45 cents, that type of thing. But it used to be almost $2. So everybody is out there waiting to see where the lawsuit goes with SEC versus Ripple. I guess if it goes in favor of Ripple, you know, whether it's a great crypto or not, I can't testify to that. But on a trading basis, it'll probably rally. So that's something to watch. But yeah, I'm overall positive, at least on the Bitcoin, because I just see this as just a big swing up and down. It's an alternative to currency. And one of the reasons it rallied is because of the banking crisis that we had talked about. You know, if your money's not safe in the bank, or you're afraid your money is not protected, why not own some Bitcoin? You know, it trades electronically outside the system. And so far, it doubled in a time frame where banking stocks were going down and people were fearful. So it provides a useful function. I mean, you know, you can't trust currencies. Currencies come and go. Nations come and go. The dollar's not going to be here forever, which we hope it is, but Canadian dollar or U.S. dollar, I guess just currencies seem to deteriorate over time because governments mismanage the economies or print too much money. And it's just a matter of time that they, you know, they go the way of the dodo. So, you know, what's permanent? Well, real estate is permanent. There's only so much of that. You know, unless we have earthquakes or geocosmic things that change the planet, I guess that could certainly change it. But, you know, real estate's pretty solid. Gold's been around for thousands of years. Silver, the metals, you know, agricultural products, things that people need and eat. And so the infrastructure type materials that build the civilization, they're always there, and there are ways you can invest in that. So, you know, I mean, in these times, I think, you know, you have to look at, you know, treasury securities, though I don't really trust the government at the moment. It's the safest place to be, at least temporarily, and then real estate and the metals and commodities, including copper and so forth and so on. So, you know, those are the safe places right now in this current environment, and we'll see when things change, we'll sort of change. So I'd rather own treasury bills, gold, real estate, and stuff like that. And, you know, I'm still thinking the stock market is not done to the downside, though it's going to be a very choppy year, and you've got the presidential cycle coming here at the end of the year, which tends to be a low point. So there's going to be some interesting volatility. So, you know, I'm thinking the stock market, you know, is going to be pretty volatile and may still go lower or go back to where it was in the fall of 2022 before all this is over. So you just got to sort of protect yourself a little bit. And listen, if you get 4% or 5%, we mentioned this before, and I think this is the common wisdom out there. It's not mine, which sort of works against the stock market, of course, if all the money managers are saying, hey, you can get 4% or 5% risk-free in a U.S. Treasury, why be in the stock market? Well, at the same time, that's good for the investor. It's bad for the stock market because people are not putting money in stocks. They're putting it in treasuries instead. So you're buying power and capability to drive the market up has been dissipated by people who decide just to pull out and hold treasury bills. So that's going to be a continuing factor here in the next several months as well. So that's sort of my general strategy here about where you should be. And if you're day trading, all what I'm saying is irrelevant. I mean, if you just buy and sell every day and you look at stuff that's moving, there's always something jumping up and down. And we try to find a couple of those things once in a while. But if you're not doing that, you just want to be more conservative. What I've just discussed is, I think, the best way to go.
Mark, anything else we should be keeping a close eye on right now?
I don't have anything really pressing at the moment. No, I would just say, you know, keep an eye on the we've already, well, I did mention, we shouldn't have mentioned, but, you know, we discussed the Equinox and stuff like that. We were looking for some type of low point or change point in the market, you know, come in March. We talked about the Ides of March. We talked about, you know, all these kinds of things in the last month or so, and then suddenly we get this banking crisis and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, even though I think the market is going to go lower overall before it goes really higher, you know, we're in this time frame for a possible change of direction. And since we were down and you had all this negative news, you know, maybe a little more of a bounce here might be unfolding. But we got, what we have to look for now is the next cyclical, big cyclical point. Since we had the vernal equinox, we had the summer solstice, which is in mid-June. And, you know, time flies when you're having fun. But if you remember, last year, the market hit its big bottom, I think, within 4 days of the June equinox. So there could be some volatility here. We could rally a little bit and find ourselves back down in June again, and another big planetary seasonal pattern, which really nobody even pays attention to or talks about. I think there's no one out there that even talks about this stuff. I talk about abolishing the Fed, and other people are starting to talk about that. So maybe they'll eventually figure out there's some bigger cycles that affect the market than just what the Fed is doing or what's happening, you know, geopolitically around the world. But anyway, yeah, to keep an eye on some of the cyclical stuff. We just came out of a new moon just the other day. We had the vernal equinox, and turn around Tuesday, and all that happened just as the market crashed on Wednesday. So on Tuesday and Wednesday. So here we go. These big cycles do impact the market. So keep an eye out for what's coming up in June. Look for some more volatility, and we'll have some fun along the way, hopefully.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
My pleasure.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.